Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Yes. Thank you. We're most thankful for you guys making that big long trip. We appreciate that so much, more than I can ever tell you. Praise the Lord. Well, I got one for you today, being that you mentioned me today. And this is called The Goat for Dinner. Okay. A young couple invited their aged pastor for Sunday dinner. And while they were in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister asked their son what they were having. "Goat," the little boy replied. "Goat," replied the startled man of the cloth. "Are you sure about that?" "Yep," said the youngster. "I heard Pa and Ma say we might as well have the old goat for dinner today." I guess I would have been the old goat. Praise the Lord. Margaret, can I tell your story without you correcting me if I don't tell it exactly right? Okay, she has to correct me when I get it wrong. Because my memory is not as good as it used to be sometimes. Never was that good anyway. Anyway, her cousin sent her a text, I guess it was. Was it a text or email?
It was just a message.
Just a message, okay. Sent her a message and said she had pulled into was it just a gas station or was it a... Okay, she pulled into a gas station and she got robbed. And I guess they called the police to find out, you know, how she got robbed. And when she was telling me this, I was thinking... She said they took all of her money. She had no money left. And I was standing there, I was thinking, well, maybe we could send her some money or something, you know. That's the way my mind works when I hear somebody needs something. I thought, well, maybe we could send her some money. I didn't say anything. And she says, yeah. She says, it was asked, could she describe the person that robbed her or whatever? And she said, yeah. And they said, well, what was it? Who was it? And she said, pump number 5. Pump. I don't know if I told it right, but that's the gist of it. She's back there shaking her head. I probably didn't tell it exactly right. I thought it was funny, though. I should have made her come up here and tell it, and then she'd get it exactly perfectly right. She won't do it when I ask her to do that one. she got robbed by pump number 5. It took all of her money. Well, praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Today is traditionally Palm Sunday, okay? And, I'm going to read you a little bit about the story about Palm Sunday, and we're going to delve into it just a little bit. So anyway, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and they are life. I ask you to just open our ears and let us hear what you would speak to us out of this word. I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, Father, for you alone are worthy of it all. And I thank you ahead of time. And I ask you to just give your people ears to hear what your spirit would speak to them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. This is in Mark 11, 1 through 10. And I might put my glasses on. I made this big, but I'm going to put them on just in case because sometimes my eyes get a little fuzzy. Okay. Verse 1, it says, "And when they came nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Beth," I never can pronounce this right. It's Bethpage. It's not Page, but it's, anyway, I never pronounce that word right. Anyway, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sends forth two of his disciples and said unto them, "Go your way into the over into the village against you, and as soon as you are entered in, you shall find a colt tied, whereupon never a man sat. Loose him and bring him, and if any man say unto you, 'Why do you do this?' say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither." And they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways meet. And they loosed him. I'm going to pause for a minute there, and I'm going to tell you that they in other portions of Scripture, this same story is told in about three different of the Gospels. And in other places, it calls it an ass, you know. And there was Scripture in the Old Testament that said, your king will come riding on an ass, you know. And so when Jesus sent them there to get the colt or the ass, whichever one you want to call it, the funny thing about this particular portion of Scripture here, it says, whereupon a man never sat. And I'm going to tell you, I was around horses a little bit as a kid. My Uncle Fred had a couple of them, and he had a golden Palomino Trigger. I've told you that story before. Trigger after George, after Roy Rogers Trigger. He was a big cowboy fan. And anyway, Trigger was kind of high-strung and kind of temperamental. And, you know, sometimes he didn't always obey commands. And this is going to sound a little harsh, what I'm going to tell you. But Uncle Fred got on him one time and was riding him. And not everybody rode Trigger, you know. You had to really know what you was doing to ride Trigger, because he didn't always do what you asked him, what you wanted him to do. And Uncle Fred was trying to get him to back up, and he wouldn't back up. And Uncle Fred pulled on the reins a little harder to get him to back up, and he still wouldn't back up. And he pulled real hard, and he broke the rein. And Uncle Fred got down and gave Trigger a whipping with the bridle. I mean, he whipped him good with it. I seen it. And, you know, Trigger was big enough, it could have killed Uncle Fred, but it was afraid of Uncle Fred, you know. And he whipped it really good with that bridle, went in the barn and got the other bridle from the other horse, brought it back out, put it on Trigger, climbed back on him, and pulled the reins for him to back up. And guess what Trigger did? He backed up. And I want to tell you, sometimes we wonder in life what God has to do to get us to be obedient at times, and what we have to go through sometimes, because Scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. It says, if you endure without chastisement, that you're bastards, you're illegitimate children. And you know, in olden days, if you were an illegitimate child, if your mother and your father were not married when you were conceived, you did not receive an inheritance. You were illegitimate, you know. And anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, because it said this colt or this ass, whereupon a man never sat. And I'm going to tell you that in our lives, all of us, we have our own personal ass. And when I say that, I'm not trying to be ugly. But sometimes we will even call each other that name if we're being obstinate or not behaving ourselves, right? And, you know, I love this, that this thing had never been, a man had never been able to sit on it. And, you know, what happened there, we'll go on a little bit farther. And that thing was sitting in a place where two ways meet. And you know, in our lives, there's always two ways. And you know what the two ways are? Your way and his way. There's always two ways. And we can make a conscious choice to either go his way or try to be obstinate and go our way. And usually if we go our way, it was the wrong choice. And later on, we tend to regret it and think, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? Or what did I do here? Well, we need to make sure that we, and when we're in that place where there's two ways meet, we go the right way. And there is only one way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need to make sure that we keep that in mind. And it goes on and says, if any man say unto you, why do you do this? Say, the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and they found the colt tied in a doorway without, in a place where two ways met. And they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosing the colt? And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded. And they let the colt go, or they let the ass go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off of trees and strawed them in the way. Now, in John 12:13, it says this, and this is telling this same story. It said, they took branches of a palm tree and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Okay. And in Isaiah 61:3, it says this. It says, to appoint unto them in Zion and to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That the Lord might be glorified. Now, when they cast their garments upon that ass, and that ass had never had a man set on it, what in type and shadow they were doing there, they were casting the garments of praise upon that situation. And anytime you find yourself in a position where something obstinate is going on in your life, what you need to do is automatically begin to take the garments of praise and to cast them upon that thing. And you know, you say, well, Oscar, what do you mean by that? I mean, when things are going wrong, when things are falling apart, when you're having problems and you just can't seem to ride the thing and get it back where it belongs, then you need to start taking the garment of praise and using the garment of praise. You know, we used to sing a song, I have put on my garment of praise. I have put on my garment of praise. And the spirit of heaviness shall fall from me. I have put on my garment of praise. And you know what? That's exactly what we need to do in those situations. Put on the garment of praise in the stubborn area, in the area that's not obedient to what we want to happen or what we feel like the Lord wants to happen in it, really. And when we begin to praise him, he inhabits the praises of his saints. And what he's telling them here, all of a sudden, before Jesus even sat down, and he inhabits the praises of his saints, before he even sat down, they begin to cast their garments on this thing. And in type and shadow, they were putting the garments of praise upon this ass whereupon a man had never sat. And guess what? You can't ride it, and I can't ride it. Well, man can't ride it, but Jesus can. And we need to realize that any situation that seems too big for us, it's never too big for him. But what we need to do is make sure we put the garment of praise on it. And if we start praising him, not for the situation, but in spite of the situation. I had a brother ask me one time when I was talking about something similar to this. And he says, Oscar, you can't mean that we're supposed to praise God for the bad stuff. And I said, no, we're not supposed to praise him for the bad stuff. We're supposed to praise him in spite of the bad stuff. And when we start to put the garment of praise on it, all of a sudden, things start turning in a different direction. If it's only in your attitude or only in the way that you're functioning in the situation, whatever it is, it will begin to start coming under control of Jesus Christ because you're giving him the praise and he alone's worthy. And when we do that, then what happens after that? And it says this, and it says, and he brought the colt to Jesus, and they cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way. And the others cut down branches off of trees and strawed them in the way. Now, in John, like I just read to you before, they took branches of palm trees and they cast them in the way. And they went forth to meet him. And he cried, Hosanna. They cried, Hosanna, blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And in Isaiah 61, it says, to appoint unto them that are in Zion to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. They went before him and they followed, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Now the word Hosanna, the literal definition for it in Strong's is O praise. Or O save, it is, I'm sorry, O save. And yet it comes from two different words. The root words are this. This is what the root words mean. And it means this. It means to open wide or be free. So when you say Hosanna, you're saying, Lord, open me up wide so that I can be free. You know, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. So I'm telling you that when you begin to say Hosanna, you begin to say what that really means. Lord, open me up wide so I can be free. And I'm inviting you to come in. Praise God. And the primary proposition denotes, this is the word in, and I like this. And here's what it says. It says, open me up so that I might be in a position of a fixed position in place, time, or state. That's not what the word, and buddy, we need to get there where we're in a position, a fixed position. You know, there's a scripture in Revelation that says, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He'll go no more out, and I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. You know, the problem is we go in and out. But when we stay in that, when we begin to say to him, open me up wide and free in a fixed position and place or time or state, and it also means a relationship of rest. So when they were singing Hosanna, or saying Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, that's what they were really saying. They were saying, Lord, open me up into a fixed position where a relationship of place of time and a state of relationship of rest. And in the highest means with the Most High, or in the position of the Most High. And you know, in Scripture, there was different places. There was different names for God in the Old Testament. And what it did showed in the Old Testament, it showed his character in his different names. El Shaddai meant it meant the large-breasted one. It meant the irresistible nature of God. That's what it had the meaning of. El Elyon was the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. So that's the highest order of name, El Elyon. You know, you're saying you possess everything, God. And I'm getting to a place where I want you to possess everything in me, that I might possess everything in you. Praise God. Ezekiel 41, 18 through 21 says this, and this is talking about the temple. And it was made, and it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that a palm tree was between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had two faces. So in other words, what it's saying is there was engraved in the walls all around the inside the temple, there was a palm tree, there was a cherub, there was a palm tree, and there was a cherub on the other side. And here's what it says about them. It says it was made with cherubs, and it was engraved in all the way around the temple walls. And it says, and it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that the palm trees were between a cherub and a cherub, and every cherub had two faces. Okay? So the face of a man was toward the palm tree. And on the other side, the face of a young lion was toward the palm tree. And the tree on the other side, it was made throughout all the house round about. Now, from the ground unto above the door were the cherubs, palm trees made, and on the wall of the temple. Now, I want to tell you, that was beautiful. That was a beautiful thing to see if you went inside the temple. But how does that, what's that mean to you? Know ye not that you're the temple of God? These things are inside of you. And I want you to realize that the face of a man, that's your face, that's God's, that's Jesus' face, that is on one side of the palm tree, and the face of a lion is on the other side. You know, when Jesus came, he had to come as a man, because if he had not come as a man, we would never believe that we could be like God. Because he was God in flesh, God incarnate in the flesh. He was the Son of God. He told Thomas when Thomas wasn't in the room when he appeared to him, he said, "Stick forth your finger and put it in the nail prints in my hands. Thrust your hand in my side." Because Thomas didn't believe. He said, "Unless I can do that, I won't believe." He had said that to the guys before, when Jesus wasn't there. Well, guess what? Jesus was there in spirit. He heard everything, everything that was said and everything else. And he told him to do that. And when he did that, you know what Thomas's reply was? "My Lord and my God." He came to the realization of who Jesus was. He was God. Okay? But all of that is inside of you. The palm tree, what's a palm tree? What does that mean? It's symbolic. You go out into the desert over in the Middle East, over in those areas, and you can be out in a 100-and-something degree weather. You can run out of water. And you know, water in the desert is life. If you don't have water, you're going to die. It's just a matter of time. You'll dehydrate and you will die. But if you were out in the desert and you started looking around and you saw a palm tree in the distance, you knew that that meant there was life. There was water there. You could go there and you could receive life. And you know what? Between those two natures of man, which Jesus appeared as a man first, and he's appearing as a man in you, not the first Adam, but the Lord God Almighty. He's appearing in you because it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. But he's coming again. Scripture says that. And says he's coming as basically as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Judah's name means praise. He's coming with the power and the authority of praise. And it says he's going to break every yoke. He's going to break every band. We used to sing it, the Lion of Judah shall break every band and give to us what? The victory again and again and again. You want to have the victory? Ask him to be the Lion of Judah in you, because it's in there. These things that were on the wall inside the temple, they're in your temple. Know you not, you're the temple of God. Praise God. And it goes on and it says, and from the ground above the door were cherubims and palm trees, and on the wall of the temple, the post of the temples, a square face of the sanctuary, the appearance of one as the appearance of the other. Revelations 5:2 through 14 says this, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. I'm going to tell you what that book is in a few minutes. It's the book of life, is what it is. God, the scripture says, we are God's epistle, read and known of men. You're the book of life. You're God's book of life. And I'm going to tell you what, your name is written in heaven. It was written inside of you before you were ever born, before you ever came into this world. He said, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereupon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat there upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and twenty elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials. Guess what the golden vials were full of? Full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Not one of the prayers that you've ever prayed has fallen to the ground. I don't care what it was. God has, he knows everyone, and it's like a sweet-smelling savor to him. Praise God. It said, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Where? We're going to reign. I thought we was going to reign in heaven somewhere. And it was says, we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands and thousands. That's a lot of folks, people. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as that are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that was him that liveth forever and ever. You know, in Hebrews 7, 1 through 3, it says this. And we just talked about kings and priests, okay? And he says, for this Melchizedek, this is in the Old Testament, but this is they wrote about it in Hebrews. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by, and that's where tithing started, not in the law, but it started through Melchizedek giving a tenth of everything. And it says, to whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and that after that also king of Salem, which is the king of peace, and I believe that's the king of perfect peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither being beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. That was that Melchizedek that appeared in the Old Testament. You know, Abraham, they got on Jesus one time because he said, your father Abraham did see my day, and he rejoiced and was glad. And they said unto him, oh, now what are you talking about? You're just 30 years old. You're not even 30 years old yet. Abraham was hundreds of years ago, basically, they were saying. Guess what? Abraham saw the day. He saw it in Melchizedek. He saw it being willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, at that point. And, you know, yet the place where he even was going to sacrifice him was where Jesus was put on Calvary, on the cross, on the tree. Okay. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. John 1, 10 through 13 says this. And he was in the world and was made by him. And the world knew him not. It's talking about Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, not of will of the flesh, nor will of man, but of God. You say, well, Brother Oscar, why did I have to get baptized? Why did I have to commit my life to the Lord? That you might be born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You're no longer born of blood. You know, people say a lot of times, well, that's my blood over there. That's my relative, you're saying, when you say that. That's my blood. I gotta make sure they're okay. Let me tell you what. They might have used to been your blood. They ain't your blood no more. Because you were born again, not of blood, nor will of the flesh, nor will of man, but you've been born of God. And I tell you what, when we start realizing who and what we are in Christ and start acting like who and what we are in Christ, this whole world's going to be set on its ear. And there's coming a time, folks, as we grow up into him, to where creation is going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God, like it says in Romans 8th chapter. And I just want you to know that ritual that they did, that we do today for Palm Sunday, had a lot bigger meaning than just taking a bunch of palm leaves and waving them around, because that ain't what it was all about. It was all about him giving us a revelation of who and what we are in Christ, and that we are the temple of God. We have all of those things inside of us. We have the face of a newborn man, which was Jesus Christ. We've been born into that image, and we're going to have the face of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We're going to help break every band out there. We're going to set creation free as we grow up into the reality of what God has called us to be. Well, praise God. That's all I had to share with you today. I know this is a little heavy. This is what the Lord wanted me to share with you. So, Father, give them ears to hear what your word was today. Let them not only be hearers of that word, but let them go forth and be doers. And I'm talking about myself, too, when I say this. I thank you, Father, because you are the only one who can ride that ass. And when somebody calls us that once in a while, that's probably just what the heck we're acting like. Stubborn, trying to get our way, not wanting to do what we're supposed to do, everything else. But thank God, a man could never ride it. But God can. Jesus can. And if we'll even, when we find ourselves being like that, and to where somebody wants us to call us that, then maybe we need to start praising God and saying, oh, God, come ride this thing. Come ride this thing. I praise you. I give you all glory. I give you all honor. I know I'm not worthy for you to ride this thing, but come and ride it. And praise God. You know, a lot of times in olden times, a king would come riding on a big, white, beautiful horse, you know, or something, making a lot of pomp. Jesus didn't come like that. He came in on an ass, on a donkey. And why? Because he wanted to tell us something. I'm going to ride the ass in you. I'm going to ride the donkey in you. I'm going to break that thing. And when I break it, I'll break it good, because I'll do it through the mercy and love and the grace of God. Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you all praise and glory. I ask you to take this little word I shared today, let everyone that hear it come to have understanding, come to a place where they know exactly what you're saying to them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all.